Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode. Over the course of the weekend, every single team in the AL Central got swept.
Yeah, I still think Jack Flaherty's better than this, but he had no command.
If you look at what else is out there, this is going to be a boring trade deadline.
It is a conspiracy theory amongst many Red Sox fans that the John Henry-led owner.
Litterbox Nation, the Detroit Tigers finally lost a series this past weekend. The better piece of this news would be that the entire AL Central got swept over the course of the weekend. Every single team in the AL Central got swept. We won one game and we gained a game on the entire division, which is incredible. That is probably the best possible outcome we could have had, considering how we played the final two games of that series against the Reds. Bill, you've been watching a lot of rowing over the past couple of days. You've been doing a lot of rowing events in Florida with your son. Did you catch any of the debacle that would be the Red Series this past weekend?
Yeah, I did have an opportunity to catch a little bit of Saturday's debacle and a little bit of Friday's. Unfortunately, on Father's Day, and by the way, happy belated Father's Day to you, Chet.
Happy belated Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yeah, I've been sweating in basically 100-degree heat in Sarasota, Florida since last Monday. And the good news is Grady's varsity team finished 10th in the nation, so that's pretty exciting news.
Bravo.
So it was all
Bravo.
Worth it. I did drive 9 young teenage boys or young men around in a Dodge or Ford Transit. I guess it's a Sprinter-type van. And thank God they didn't have hockey pads because that's the only way it would have smelled worse. Anyhow, thoughts on the series. I have 3 right off the top. 1, Ely De La Cruz did absolutely what we hoped he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So that's thought number 1. Thought number 2 is the Tigers took care of business in game 1. Not in great fashion. Like, the cracks were starting to show there in game 1. And then the cracks really came to fruition. Saturday was a complete and total meltdown all the way around. You got your Jack Flaherty that you're expecting.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I still think Jack Flaherty's better than this, but he had no command. He did not know where the ball was going. So I watched it with another couple dads while the boys were at the mall getting some air conditioning time, and it was still a competitive game through the 5th inning, which is all
yep.
I watched. So it was 2-1 at
yep.
that point, and then the wheels came off and it quickly became 6-1, 7-1, 10-1, 11, and that was the final. And then the worst game the Tigers have played, I would say, all season was probably yesterday, Father's Day.
I would agree with that.
They looked lost at the plate. They looked lost on the mound.
Really sloppy game. Just
and
really
they looked lost in the
altogether.
Field.
Altogether.
3
yeah,
errors. The most errors I believe they've had all season. And the sad part is, and I think this is really what you want me to touch on, the bullpen's overutilization is catching up to the Tigers. I don't think the bullpen's any worse than it was a month ago. You Will Vest can't pitch 200 innings this year.
People are tired of hearing about it. I mean, people are tired of hearing about this. Oh, the bullpen's overutilized. Bullpen's overutilized. They are. They're overutilized. I mean, there's no better way to put it. It's not an excuse. When you're going with these, and there's an argument here. Is it a bullpen game? Is it a starter? Is it a starter by committee? I don't know. Whatever you want to call it, it's not your traditional starter with the bullpen filling in afterwards in the later innings. It's not, I don't care, you want to call it a bulk start, a bulk game, a bulk whatever, bulk innings game, I don't care what you call that pitcher, what you want to call him in modern day baseball. There's starters are starters for a reason. Bullpen guys are bullpen guys for a reason. You want to play these matchup games, it's kind of like rolling the dice a lot of the time, in my opinion. Because the matchups work, but when they don't, things go sideways fast. And when you got to use them all the time as a regular strategy throughout the week, it's going to bite you. It's not going to work as well as throwing a good 1-5 starter out there, getting the best of them. There's a reason guys are in the bullpen. Anyhow.
If anybody that's listening could see us on our live stream, yes, that would be me getting a stiff neck listening to Chet on his soapbox, lecturing us all
on my soapbox
on
with these things. It's just too gimmicky for me.
He's a traditionalist when it comes to this starters must be starters, so on and so forth. So I guess if we can go any direction here, I just kind of want to read down this just to add a little more kerosene to your fire.
Go.
This is yesterday's game, and I just want to read you the pitchers. My guy, Tyler Holton, 1 inning, 1K, no damage. Then Sawyer Gibson Long comes on for 3 innings, allows 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 2 Ks. So, hey, through 4 innings, Tigers are looking pretty good, right? Then our guy Chase Lee comes on, 2 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk. Again, now we're 6 innings through and things are looking really positive. Brant Herder comes on, 1 inning, 2 hits, and then the wheels fall off. Because if you notice what I talked about with the first 4 pitchers, those are people that have not pitchers, I should say bullpen members of the Tigers organization that have not been overutilized.
Yeah.
And then we get to Will Vest. He doesn't make it a full inning. He allows 3 hits, 3 earned runs, does have 1K, but he was not himself. Not himself whatsoever. No. Everything he threw was a meatball right over the heart of the plate. I did go back and watch, his every pitch. And then Brendan Hanafy came out to finish the game off, which I don't think is what AJ Hinch was expecting.
Uh-uh.
2 hits, 2 earned runs, 1K. So it's weird that the Tigers, again, we don't really have many swing and miss guys outside of Vest in the bullpen. And that came to fruition as well. I really don't have a bouquet for anybody in the 1-9 lineup whatsoever outside of Torres. Had a great weekend at the plate. Riley Green was his inconsistent self. Torkelson is in a funk. McKinstry's in a funk. I guess I can give Wenzel Perez some love.
He'll be fine this week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's not Javier Baez, he's Javier Baez right now. And then
give
Parker
him the first
Meadows.
Name, take away the last name.
Yeah. Parker Meadows, we need to talk about this. So this is where I'm going to invite you to join me on this. I get that he didn't have a spring training. And when he was in spring training, Chet, he was going up against, let's say, high single A, low A guys.
Sure.
I mean, he was injured before the big boys even really took the rubber. That being said, he went over 3 yesterday. He's batting 143 and he looks lost up there. I mean,
Parker's going to get a bye from me, but another guy that you alluded to is having some struggles, and Kerry Carpenter, a few weeks back, a week or so back, he started talking about Kerry. Kerry needs to be on the IL. I hate to say that, but whatever's going on, I think he's hurt. The hammy. Did you see them? Did you see when he got sent?
Yeah.
My word. Years back, Bill.
Who would win? Carpenter with his bad hammy or you in a foot race?
That's what I'm about to describe for you right now.
I read your mind.
There were about, this must have been about 12 to 13 years ago, maybe 14 years ago. I used to live in the Wrigleyville neighborhood in Chicago, and the neighbors got to go have a day on the field. And it was usually in like October, November, or something like that, after the season was done. You put your name in a thing, and you know, a lot of people got selected. And one day, a neighbor of ours, Andy Roberts, and I got selected to go and run around on the field. And we were out there with our gloves, throwing a ball around, and we were running bases and acting like we were turning double plays. A couple of, you know, late 30-year-old guys trying to feel cool at Wrigley Field. And I tried to run the bases. Now, I am not what you would call a runner, okay? It's not in my DNA, never has been. And in my late 30s, I didn't look good running the bases, okay? I looked better than Kerry Carpenter did on that send home. I watched him run and I said, oh my gosh, that looks like me. We took video of it that one day running around and I looked like him. I looked like him. So I sat there and I said, he's hurt. There's something going on with him right now. He even had a look on his face like, I can't believe I'm going home right now. So it was, I think they got to do something about him. His hitting has not been great. He's not good on the base paths. They got to let him rest at all. Just let him rest. Let him get that thing healed up. Hammies are tricky. I mean, he could be out for a while too. And if he does the real damage to it, if he, one of these times, we may not see him for months. So I'd rather he rested it, got it right, and came back, because right now he's ineffective at the plate, looks lost. And Parker looks lost because he's just cold. He's coming back from being out for a while. So I'm going to give Parker a pass. I'll probably give Parker a pass till the end of June at this point, to be honest. Like, let's get him. He's just got to get his sea legs. But yeah, the rest of the guys, Torque has been doing what Torque does, which is like the occasional homer and the occasional hit. He's still barreling the ball up. He's still hitting it hard. I mean, he's still having good at bats. Dingler's been stellar. He's one of the only guys. He and Gleyber Torres are the only two guys on the team that have been around for a couple months here that I can speak highly of at this point. Riley has his games. Riley was not bad this weekend. He wasn't sensational. He wasn't the superstar everybody wants him to be, but he had a good game or two there this past weekend that, you know, I think we expect a lot from him. But yeah, outside of that, Jamai Jones, fun to watch. He looks like he's having some fun, but new to the team, let's let him settle in. Wen Seal's been pretty good since he came back too, but Javi's kind of drifting off. Zach McKinstry doesn't look as dominant as he once did.
Well, he's becoming the Zach McKinstry that we all know.
Love. Yeah.
So on a separate note, Saturday's lone highlight had to be that your mustached catcher, Jake Rogers, came in and threw one inning. He allowed two hits and one earned run. And
we got that as a gift after the Brebbia blow-up.
Yeah, and he, I believe, which did land Brebbia down in Toledo, so everybody knows he was DFA'd. And Jake Rogers, I believe, on his last three pitches, never got above 60 miles an hour.
I don't believe so.
Which is friggin' outstanding.
That's incredible.
All right. CXG believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXG is proud to support the Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com. So
it's artsy.
All right. You and I have always said, a lot of people say the end of May, Memorial Day is like kind of the check-in point. You and I have always pushed it a little more towards Father's Day. So let's do our check-in on this, because sure, the Tigers lost a series. I'm not pushing the panic button.
No.
Like you said, everybody else in the Central had a bad weekend. If I can, the Royals are in an absolute free fall right now.
Yeah,
they're 11 and a half back right now. They've lost six straight, and their run differential is really, really creeping up on them. They were always in the plus category up until about 2 weeks ago, and now they're negative 28. And surprisingly, also, the Guardians are negative 26 right now. They've lost three straight. And so you look, this is the Tigers' worst stretch they've had.
Exactly.
Since the first 2 weeks of the season, just only because of that 0-3 start.
The whole division got swept this weekend. We had the best record of anyone in the division over the weekend.
Last 10, Tigers are 5-5. The division reads like this: the Twins, 2-8. Guardians, 2-8. Royals, 2-8. And then here come the White Sox. 4-6. I'm joking. They still lost 5 straight.
There you go. That's
they still lost
high watermark for the rest of the division. I mean, it's the division of the poors here, okay? The AL Central is the division of the poors in a lot of ways.
All right, we made fun of Jeff Passan a couple of weeks ago. Now we're going to have to go say Jeff Passan was probably right. So
I mean, it's kind of, it's a little ridiculous at this point because when they get outside of the division, they start playing other teams. They start losing. I don't know. That's okay. That's an unfair thing to say. They have their moments, but like I said, I think it's one of those high ceiling, low floor divisions. Like I think they can stink, and I think they can be really tough to beat. And so we saw a lot of the floor lately.
Well, the good news coming up is that they have a 3-game set against the Pirates, who are absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So, and that's at home. And then they do quick jaunt down to George Steinbrenner Field, a AAA field in Tampa, the area that I just was in.
Yeah.
The good news for them is the field and hotel that they're staying at is roughly 10 minutes from the Tampa airport. And it is also dab smack in the middle of every good gentleman's club in that area. So if they decide not to golf and avoid the heat, which would be my suggestion, you know, there's other air conditioning.
Maybe tuck some bucks.
Yeah. I mean,
why not?
Hit the ATM, bring some cash down with you. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. Bring your, you know, a sock full of singles, as they say. So let's go around the horn just because we are doing our Father's Day check-in. The Yankees are the Yankees. They're exactly where we probably thought they'd be. They're on top of the American League East, 42-28, 600 winning percentage. A little bit surprising to me, the Rays are just behind them at 40-32. They've been pretty hot recently, winners of 4 straight, 7-3 in their last 10. Run differential is the really impressive part about the Rays and why I don't think anybody should be sleeping on them. They're plus 68 at this point, which is third in the American League after the Yankees being plus 103, the Tigers then being plus 80. Then you've got the Rays. So I don't think the Rays are going anywhere anytime soon.
No, the Rays are pesky. They always have been.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but they always have been.
They draft well and they develop well. Yeah. And it seems like they always fleece the other team.
Well, they're very committed to their roster creation, the way they're doing it. Like they just don't divert from it. They've constantly built teams the way they're building it because they know like that we have no money. We have to build the team this way. And they are successful at it.
Yeah. If I was a general manager or if you were a general manager and the Rays were on the other line, I'm not taking the call or I'm just talking about what I had for lunch.
It'd be frightening.
Yeah, they would fleece me every time. So Blue Jays have cooled a little bit, 38-33. And then this team we need to do a deep dive on. The Red Sox did something very unexpected
and
traded Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
And you and I have differing opinions on why this happened and maybe why the Tigers weren't bigger players in this. Would you like to go first on this or would you like me to go first?
I have a lot of theories around this outside of the Florian Wirtz controversy.
For those that don't know, he is a superstar football player, soccer player, and the owners of the Red Sox also own Liverpool FC. And it is a conspiracy theory amongst many Red Sox fans that the John Henry-led ownership cares more about Liverpool. Quite frankly, Liverpool makes a ton more money than the Red Sox do.
That was the big myth or the big
that's not true
conspiracy or whatever. That's not true. I think it really comes down to just a dysfunctional relationship that was cultivated over time between the Red Sox and Rafi Devers. And I also think there's an honest look at Rafi Devers that everybody has to make. He's not a great third baseman. He really isn't a good fielding third baseman. However, he's not awful. He's not terrible. He's not like unbelievably bad. And his bat makes up for a lot of it.
Yeah, but have you looked at who his comps are?
I know. They're bad. It's bad. Okay, he's bad. He's a bad fielding third baseman.
He's Scott Rolen, but doesn't play a good Scott Rolen third base.
I get that
Scott Rolen's in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
He's got an exceptional bat, okay? And he's pretty much had an exceptional bat for a long time. He showed up to spring training overweight, out of shape. They asked him if he'd take a move to DH first base. He didn't want to do it. Along comes Bregman. He still doesn't want to do it. He feels like he was cheated by ownership. You know, they're going behind his back. They're not confirming with him first. I mean, they have him on like a $300 million 10-year deal. $310 million over 10. So they're paying him a ton of money. He has no reason to turn around and be like, oh, yeah, I'll be a team player and make the team happy. No, I want to play in the field still. I don't want to be relegated to DH. And you get it, but at the same time, Rafi, if that's the case, you need to refine your craft and stay in shape. Don't look like Chet on the baseball field. And he started to look that way just with a better bet. He got traded. I kind of can't believe the Giants did it. It's a really odd move for me if you're the Giants.
Well, the Giants haven't had a big bat since Bonds.
I know.
They haven't had anybody hit over 30, and no, 40 home runs.
The beauty of this is he was quoted as saying, I'll play wherever the Giants want me to.
Well, yeah, he just wanted out of Boston.
That was the parting kick.
Well, the Boston media has also been notoriously harsh on athletes.
Sure.
I mean, I'm still amazed that Bill Russell has a statue in downtown Boston.
But still.
Not because of Bill Russell's greatness, nor the Celtics' greatness, nor the man that Bill Russell is and what he did for just the progression of civil rights in American athletes. It's the fact that the Boston media was unmerciful on that man who might be the greatest team athlete of all time. That being said, Devers is going to find living in San Francisco to be a breeze comparatively to living in Boston.
Well, there's media markets that are tough to play in. And I mean,
Boston,
you look at it,
say
the team gave him the contract he wanted.
And
so
San Francisco's
like,
eating him. Yeah, the whole contract, or they're taking it on. So, and they're going to be stuck with him until he's 35. And trust me, the last three years of this deal are going to look nasty.
One more reason why I don't like these massive deals for 99% of the players. Again, I'm sorry. I call me grumpy over it, whatever you want.
Call you Soapbox Chet.
Yeah, I'm on the soapbox tonight.
I think they're looking at it purely from power. And the fact is, I'm going to bounce over to the National League West now because we don't really need to talk about the Orioles anymore. The fact is, when they made the trade, the Giants were actually a game ahead of the Dodgers.
I know.
They then lost two straight to the Dodgers. They are now two games behind the Dodgers. But the fact is, Buster Posey's the new president and general manager of baseball operations in San Francisco. He is arguably the greatest Giant, not named Barry Bonds, of the last, I don't know, you'd have to go back to Willie Mays and Willie McCovey. You know, that's how big of a gap there is. Now, mind you, the Giants also have more players in the Hall of Fame than any other baseball team, so they have a deep and storied history. That being said, they were buyers, and they got rid of four pitchers that could be meaningful, impactful guys. But keep in mind that the Red Sox, their farm system is depleted right now. Anybody that's a good prospect or anybody that's showing promise needs to be on the field now for the Red Sox.
Sure, sure.
And Devers occupying either first base, which he didn't want to do, or DH just blocks these young guys, and the Red Sox need to see what they have.
Yeah.
So it made sense from that standpoint.
I get why the Red Sox got rid of him. I get that.
I give the Giants an A- on it, though, for the fact that if you're going to tell your fan base that you're going to go toe-to-toe with the Goliath in the sport that is the Dodgers, you have to make an impactful move. And outside of this trade, what other bat would you say would be of this magnitude? You know,
isn't. I mean, we could talk about that when we talk about trade stuff. But if you look at what else is out there, this is going to be a boring trade deadline.
I mean, this is the blockbuster.
And the best stuff may have already happened.
Yeah. No, I think we'll see pitchers, especially bullpen guys, especially 4 and 5 guys in rotations, the usual things. There's a couple things on this, though. One, the Giants got a hitter. Yeah, they're probably overpaying him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, compare him to, let's just say, Cedric Mullins. I mean, he's 5 times the player Cedric Mullins is. He's better than Bo Bichette. And the fact that he was going in with a fresh, good attitude, and he actually played himself into shape, through the first, let's see, I'm doing quick math on this, 70-some games. So I think it could be a win-win for each team.
I'm
a Red Sox fan, I'm a little worried about, hey, you just got rid of a quarter you know, $250 million worth of salary. What are you going to do?
Well, he was the makeup signing. I mean, they lost Betts. They lost Bogarts.
The Red Sox traded him.
They were inflamed, and they made the big signing of Devers, and that blew up in their face 2 years after. And so, I mean, it's kind of like when you just scrape the decks and start over.
Yeah. But I do think this, the Dodgers-Giants is going to be captivating must-watch television, must-watch baseball coming down. The Padres are still only 3 games back there.
Hey, Tiger fans. You know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While other services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
And then here's where we're going to get into the sellers as I just kind of go through records and all that, and obviously want your feedback. The Diamondbacks are only a game above 500 right now. They're 6.5 back. In any other division in baseball, I would say that they would want to be competing and buyers.
Yeah.
In this season, in their division, they might become sellers.
They're sellers.
We don't need to talk about the Rockies. They're on pace. I'm sure you read the same headlines I did. And for our listeners that didn't, the Rockies just celebrated the worst 70-game start in the history of Major League Baseball. Let's move over to the National League Central. The Cubs are still on top, 44-28. They have a really impressive plus 105 run differential. And then you've got the Brewers coming to the friendly confines the next 3 days, 39-34. They also have a plus 21. The Cardinals are an interesting team. Will they be buyers? Will they be sellers? They're plus 18, but they're only 2 games above 500.
They're sellers. They got to be sellers. They're sellers. They got to be sellers, right?
Don't know. I think it's an interesting one, but it's their general manager's last season. So that's why I think it's kind of up in the air. And then the Reds, who we just faced, you know, same record, but what is the Cardinals, you know, 37-35.
Sure.
But here's the interesting thing on why I think you're right about the Cardinals. They're only plus 18 in run differential, and their pitching's been amazing this year. It's their hitting that's been lackluster. Plus 41. So, like, actually, the National League Central is a really, really good division.
It's a very good division with a very good team sitting on top of it.
Yeah. And then...
Or a good division with a very good team sitting on top of it. Not very good division.
The National League East, obviously, we've touched on it, but the Atlanta Braves have to be the biggest disappointment in Major League Baseball this year.
The big question now is, do they sell and re-rack for the future, or do they hang on to the pieces they've got and try to build? I mean, is that an option to sell if you're the Braves?
I don't know. Did you read the same article I did about how much money they're making at Truist Park and that?
No.
This, they call it the Battery. They built like a ballpark village, but like the hotels, that's office complex.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're not only setting the trend, they're breaking all sorts of monetary records. I'll send you the article, but case in point, money is growing on trees, or they're printing money for the Braves. I'd be shocked if they were sellers, but it might be a good season to do so, because outside of the Rockies that don't really have anything to sell, maybe the Diamondbacks, Pirates don't really have a whole lot to sell. The Marlins are always sellers.
The Pirates, apparently, Brian Hayes is on the market right now. He's a third baseman.
Does that get you excited?
No. And this is the problem. I mean, we can go through these teams. Like, you look at third basemen around the league right now. Bo Bichette's at the top. He's probably the best thing you're going to get, and you're going to pay for it. I don't want it, to be honest. I don't think it's enough of an upgrade if we're going to have to pay. If we don't have to pay that much, let's put it this way. Like, the price tag matters on some of these guys. Yeah. Eugenio Suarez for the Diamondbacks is another guy that the Tigers are looking at. No interest. We have lots of Eugenio Suarez's right now. We have a lot of guys who can play the position and do a middling job and every once in a while do well. Key Brian Hayes, same thing. Not a guy that's going to move the needle a whole lot. When we're looking at who we're going to get rid of, I mean, we've got a couple guys like Max Anderson. He's a second baseman who's basically blocked two times over probably, but he's raking and having a great season. He's a trade piece. You look at, you know, I don't think now, like they were talking about Bryce Rainier being a trade piece for a bigger piece, like if we're going to get a really big one, but he's hurt now. So he's not going to be a trade piece. We're not getting rid of Max Clark, not getting rid of McGonagall. You know, these guys are probably as close to untouchable as it gets. Never say never, but you never know. I don't know what we have to trade that I'd want to part with to get any of these guys.
Let me finish my recap, and then I've got a good question for you, and we'll kind of segue and then wrap.
Yeah.
Mets or Phillies? Right now, the Phillies are two games behind the Mets. Who do you like in the National League East? Because it's going to be one of the two.
I think the Mets have an incredible offense right now. I mean, yeah. They are rolling as far as that offense goes. One of the best, I think they're top three offense in baseball right now.
They're plus 80 in run differential, yeah. But they have lost three straight, which is interesting.
Well, recency, you know, whatever. I'm not going to write them off because they lost three straight, but we'll talk at the end of the month and see where they're at going into the All-Star break. Phillies are also going to be up there competitive, although, and I think the Phillies do they have better pitching than the Mets right now? Is that marginal?
It's only because their pitching's healthier.
Yeah.
I think if the Mets were truly healthy, they would be a superior, you know, starting and
bullpen. So I think you got a battle there.
I think the Phillies are all in this year because this is Schwarber and Real Maltro's last seasons under contract. I expect our guy, Dave Dombrowski, to be a buyer in a big way.
When guys like him are buyers, like what's going to be left for us? I don't know. I mean, they're going to go get some pitching. They're going to go get relievers.
We're coming to it. The Astros have officially run away with the American League West. They're only 4.5 games above the Mariners, but I would be stunned in 2 weeks' time if the Astros don't have a double-digit lead over
the
rest of the
division. Does it shock you that the Astros are doing as well as they are without Bregman, without Kyle Tucker in their lineup? No. Do they just seem like the team that constantly reloads?
They're the Rays with an actual budget.
Yeah. They're the Rays with a couple bucks in their pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And no taxes in Texas.
No taxes.
Yeah. I mean, no taxes in Texas.
Yeah.
All right. So circling back, you texted me and then it seemed like you cooled your jets. Like you were like, God, I wish the Tigers had traded for Devers. This is absolutely positively what we needed was how I interpreted your text. Now, mind
you, I don't
know
about that.
We all know that texts
I've calmed.
Subject to interpretation. What I am agreeing with you on is
I saw the initial deal, and I was like, I didn't feel like the Giants gave up that much.
They didn't.
But they're taking on that contract, which is massive.
And would you have?
No. And I sat there and said to myself, like, there's no way the Tigers would take that contract on, and I don't want them to take that contract on.
Okay. All right.
I think Devers, you know, he probably comes to Detroit and says, I'll play wherever you want me to play. Hey, I don't know. I mean, you know, if we needed a first baseman that badly, if Torque wasn't having the mild resurgence that he's having, I would probably look at you and say, yeah, we could use a Devers to play first. We could use him at third, even though he's a terrible fielding third baseman. But the bat in the lineup would be incredible. You have to admit that. I don't have the appetite for contracts at large. I don't care who it is. And you throw Scooble in that pile too, bud, because I don't want to pay Scooble either. So
here's my curveball for you. What you'd be eating or absorbing from the contract for Devers, or what the Giants took on, is roughly $250 million. That's basically what the Tigers offered Bregman, that we were both kind of like, man, that was disappointing. What happened? You know? So taking on the $250 million for Devers is basically the same contract that was offered to Bregman. They're similar in age. They're both going to be 35, 36.
And Bregman is injury prone. So it's like, and he's going through it right now.
I know, but isn't it funny how two things can be true at the same time?
I know. And I think Bregman's looked at differently than Devers to a degree. I don't know. I know a lot of people just look at Devers as though he's not a team guy. Like that's their big hang up. right there. He doesn't fit the mold. I mean, Glaber wasn't really seen as a team guy who fit the mold either. He's doing just fine.
I think with the trade, I'm saying this now at Father's Day, I think the Giants are the front runner to win the World Series this year.
Really?
Yeah. That's my...
Giants are the front runner now. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's, you're hearing it here first. All right. But we're a Tigers podcast, so let's get back to it.
Yeah.
We need to talk a little bit about what's upcoming in terms of pitching matchups, because you are not going to love what's coming on down this week. So do you want me to break the bad news to you, or
Go for it. Fire away. Give it to me.
Tomorrow we've got Falter, left-hander for the Pirates. He's 5-3, 3.36 ERA against Casey Mize, who's 6-2, 2.95 ERA. I like the Tigers in that. I think the Tigers will play well. It gets even better for Wednesday. Haney's on the bump. His record doesn't really reflect how well he's pitched. Again, he's a lefty, 3.33 ERA, 59 Ks this year, but he's going up against Skubal. So I'd like to think that's a game that the Tigers will take care of. So let's just hypothetically say that things go their way those first two games, which puts them in position Thursday to have a matinee at 12:10, and here's where it's going to get ugly, Chet, especially if the Tigers lose one or both of those first two, because you've got Paul Skenes on the mound against your favorite and my favorite byline, to be determined, which probably means that it's Tyler Holton pitching the first or 1.2 innings, and then it's going to be chaos theory thereafter.
Every series, we're going to have one of these. Every series. And I know it's just injuries, but I know you're trying to get me to get all worked up.
I'm not baiting you.
You are. And I get it. Because it does. It gets me worked up. I can't help it. I mean, every series we have to have one of these now, and everybody says it's due to injury. It's okay if you do these at the end of the year for maintenance and whatnot. But when we're doing it in May and June, because we just don't have starters right now, or we don't have candidates that could be starters, that seems very fragile for a starting pitching unit. I just don't. I mean, we barely got five guys we can roll out there every 5 days. And after that, it's a complete crapshoot. I don't believe Montero or Gibson Long have the arsenal right now to be starters. Maybe Gibson Long eventually, but you got to have a good four pitches to start. You got to have a pitch mix to start. You got to be able to get through the lineup more than twice to start. And I don't feel like we got a lot of that. And then if you really want to pour salt in the wound, our bullpen, I know we gave them, we threw bouquets, we threw all sorts of compliments the bullpen's way up till June 1st. And since June 1st, it's looked a little meek. I mean, and Vest got pulled the other night. I don't know if you saw that or not. But in game three, he got pulled. He was hurt or something happened. We don't know what exactly it is yet. Yeah.
It's the same thing that Reese Olson's dealing with.
Good. That's great.
So,
he's our most effective reliever.
A blister throwing the changeup, which they grip so hard, it's almost painful. It's like turning coal into a diamond. Anyhow, upcoming for the weekend, I have better news for you. So I'm gonna end this and have you feeling really good about yourself. Okay. You're going to get a great night of rest tonight, and you're going to love it because...
Big, deep breath. Go.
Jack Flaherty, Friday. Your guy, Gibson Long, Saturday, if he can go more than three innings. And then Mize on Sunday. So we only have one to be determined... Crazy Montero bullpen upcoming.
I bet that Gibson Long turns into a
could, maybe not. You don't know. And then the Tigers,
one inning starter.
They have next Monday off again, so we are getting some rest. Olson, apparently, he and Matt Vierlein's rehab assignments are going well, and so I think help's on the way.
Okay,
and there's optimism to be had. We lost a series. They'll lose more series.
No, I'm not worried. I'm less worried about the losing of the series, more worried about some of the trends I'm seeing. That's all.
Sure. I agree.
We'll see.
All right. I don't have a whole lot more.
I think that's it. I mean, we had a couple of bad games. We'll get over it. We're going to move along. We're going to move on to Pittsburgh. We'll get to see Skenes pitch, see if he's all that. Maybe we crush him. You think we crush him?
Anything's possible.
Well, we'll get through the Pirates.
And then
we'll see if we can beat somebody.
We'll give you another pod after that, loyal listeners. And then we'll preview the Rays a little more. Hopefully there won't be Chet Stretted to be determined. And we'll go from there. And hopefully Reese Olson's back up with the big league club and his blisters have healed.
Litterbox listeners, we salute you. Thanks for hanging in there with us through this negativity tonight. Until our triumphant return for the Pirates.
Boy.
Everybody have a good week.